This morning, we'll be speaking on lordship, or I've called it something else, wholehearted devotion. Wholehearted devotion. And before we start this, let's just ask the Lord to prepare our hearts for this time. Lord God, we want to thank you this morning for loving us with all your heart. Lord, tune us now to you to love you with all our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned in my testimony somewhat the other evening that the real change in my life came when I decided that Jesus Christ wanted all of my life. I heard this and realized it and turned my life over to Him the summer before my sophomore year. To me, that was almost more outstanding than conversion in my own mind because there was such a change. Maybe I was ready physiologically and everything else, but I do remember that there was a real change. That was an outstanding highlight. Then the other thing I remember was just before we took our first assignment, I was down in the office with Leroy Imes. I was his assistant, and he was a director of the North American continent, the thing that Rod Sargent is doing now. And I had, on the Glen, we were doing something. I had a job to do for him. And we needed some helpers, and I had to get somebody to help me, and I finally found a guy, and I told Leroy, I said, well, did you get anybody? And I said, yes, I found a certain guy, and he said he was open to help. And he turned to me, and he said, well, obviously he's not the one. Obviously he can't help. I thought, well, why? He said he was open. He said, well, remember this, Bob, when you go to Bloomington, Indiana. He said, don't get involved with just those people that are open. He said, get involved with those who are eager, not the half-hearted. Don't get involved with the half-hearted. Because you see, they don't really count. A noted paper, newspaper columnist wrote, there's only two people in the world, two kinds of people in the world that really count today. And that is the dedicated communist and the dedicated Christian. The rest are just along for the ride. They don't really count. And we are in a world struggle. We are in a world conquest. Wholehearted devotion today sounds very strange in a world or in a country where our national anthem is, take it easy. We leave and the last word somebody says to us is, well, Bob, take it easy. You know, we always say as we leave, take it easy. So you think of wholehearted devotion or don't be fanatical, you know. A country where we're seeing no absolute standards, but more and more everything is relative. When you really put out and you're really doing a job, we had one of the girls in our home, a missionary was coming and we were renting an apartment for him, so she went over to really clean it. And boy, she really cleaned it. And the telephone man was there and he was putting in the phone. He said, why are you working so hard? And that's kind of the characteristic of the age. What are you working so hard for, man? Don't put out like that. So wholehearted devotion sounds very strange. But not with God. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood, in Leviticus. The blood flows through the heart. The heart keeps pumping. When the heart stops, life stops. My son, give me your life. give me your life. Now we have an option. We do not have to give Jesus Christ our heart and our life. This is the option of love. As I mentioned the other evening, I proposed to Marilyn. She didn't have to say yes. This is the option of love. This is the same thing that God makes to us. He died for our sins on the cross. He came to us, but we don't have to accept Him. We have this option. Now, but if you decide to love the Lord your God, you must do it according to His great commandment. Now that is not an option. He says in Matthew 22, 37 and 38, that he was asked, which is the great commandment? And he said, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. If you're going to love me, this is the way you've got to love me. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And as I looked at that, I said, why? Why would God say that to us? Why would we have to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind? And as I meditate on that, I came up with some reasons. The reason that He wants us to love Him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind is that this is the kind of love He has given to us and for us. The kind of love that He gave for me that I might become the children of God was all His heart, all His soul, and all His mind. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and Jesus Christ came and died. Greater love hath no man than this. 1 John 3:1, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. He says, see what love the Father, 1 John 3:1, the Father has given us. Do you ever stop and meditate on the love of God for you, that He loves you? He says, see what love. Maybe this morning when you spend time alone with the Lord, maybe you want to see what love the Father has bestowed on you, that you should be called the children of God. What love. He bankrupt heaven that we might be His son and daughter. Heaven, total heaven, God left His throne and took upon Himself the form of a man, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And then that wonderful passage in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that you and I could be the children of God. See what love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we could become the children of God. Could He demand any less from us? Is it unreasonable that we should love Him with all our heart and all our soul and with all our mind? Has He loved us with any less? You say, now, Lord, I want You to be first in my life. I want You to be first. I come home from a trip and I say, honey, you're first. You are first in my life. But I was in Chicago and I know Betty in Chicago. She's a honey. She's second. And then I traveled over here to Detroit and I know Phyllis there and she's a real swell gal. She's third. And then down here in New Orleans, There's Sue, and she's really a honey, too. She's fourth. Boy, the women know how that rates, don't you? You're already thinking, look out. See, Marilyn doesn't want to be first to me. Marilyn wants to be all to me. God doesn't want to be first place in your life. He wants to be all in your life. Every place, all. Now, only as we understand God's love for you and for me will we understand the following verses that I want to read to you. Only as you understand God's love for you, see what love, will you understand these verses. Luke 14:26. Let me read. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I couldn't understand those verses until I understood the love of God for me. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. This is the toughest. And take up his cross daily and follow me. John 12:15. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. 26 of John 12. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Unless we understand God's love, those are tough verses. Matthew 10:37, 38, and 39. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And I have prayed over those verses and I have wept over those verses. Before I came to Glen Eyrie for training and I was home, my mom and dad said, how can you leave us now? And I remember turning to Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And I prayed over those verses and I left home. And now we've let them know we're going to Beirut. When they heard the word, I got a phone call from my mother. She said, if you want to kill your father, you go to Beirut. And that was hard to take. And we turned to Matthew 10 again. And then we got a phone call from Marilyn's parents. And they were a little more understanding. And every time my folks call, they ask, well, have you decided to go? Well, we've decided to go. But I'm not sure we could go unless we understood God's love for us. I'm not sure we could go. I'm not sure I can understand these verses unless I understood God's love for us. First John 3:1, see what love the Father has given us that we should become the sons of God. This morning, when you get time with Him, ask Him to reveal Himself to you as to how much He loves you. Ask Him just to show you how much He loves you in the Word of God. How can we love Him with any less love than he's given to us, how can he demand any less love than he has given for us? The second reason, and I believe, that Jesus Christ said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, is that he realized the cost that had to be paid to accomplish the magnitude of the task. He realized the price and the cost that must be paid so the job that he gave would be done. And such a big job. We talked about it yesterday. Nothing less than the whole world. And before he left, he said to 12 men who were garden variety everyday people like you and like me, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you always. And he knew the price. He knew that we would have to pay the same price that he paid for that job to be done. Someone dies. That the world might know God, he died. That people might come to know Jesus Christ, we die. John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And we see that. We see one little kernel go into the ground, and there's a process of going on of death. The little kernel dies. It actually dies. It gives up itself, and there's another part that feeds on it and comes alive, and out comes a plant. And there are many more of that kind of fruit or vegetable or something like this. So Jesus used it as a grain of wheat, a kernel of wheat. We talked in the beginning of the week, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. And remember how we said that verse worked backwards. We decide to be conformed to his death. Daily we make decisions for God and against ourselves, and we die. We choose to die. And we invite the fellowship of his sufferings. But along with the fellowship of his sufferings comes the power of the resurrection. The sweet fellowship and knowing God, and we get to know him better. But the magnitude of the task, the whole world, and he knew the price that had to be paid. He demands that we exchange our life for people. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now the kingdom of God is going to be made up of people. Isaiah 43:4-5. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people in exchange for thy life. He is calling us, Isaiah 43:4-5. He is calling us to exchange our life for people. That's the way this job will get done. That's the way the world will be reached. Is when you and I, as disciples, dedicated ones to the cause of Jesus Christ, to the thing that is on his heart, and that's others, that they might know the fellowship of the living God, that we decide to exchange our life, that we want to be those who will stand to exchange their lives for people. He says, now when you do that, you realize you follow my path. And you know where that goes. It goes to the cross. Mark 8:37 says, what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? What are we exchanging our soul for? What are we exchanging our time for in a week? Oh, the Lord is the Lord of my life. How do you live your life any different than 12, 14, 20 hours a day that you live every day? How do you live those hours any different if He wasn't the Lord of your life? Because He is the Lord of your life, how are they different? How is your time spent differently because He is the Lord? Is it any different than if He wasn't the Lord? Our time. A lot of things take our time. I believe our family has a rightful part of it. But then there are other things that I believe that are in the world today, especially in the American culture, that eat and drain. I believe it's a television. There are the facts that are out today as to how many people watch, the time spent watching television that the average businessman watches, that is astounding. It's something like 40 hours a week. It's as many hours that he works. That's amazing. If he could cut out, say, two nights a week, and say one night go out into the neighborhood and talk to the neighbors about Christ, and the other night have a follow-up Bible study for those who are interested, who do miracles. Our time. What shall a man exchange for his own soul? Our time. What about our money? What will we give in exchange for that? Our soul. Because our soul is, we decide to what job we will have, and with our job we earn our money. One fellow was graduating from Bible school, and Leroy asked him, he says, "All right now, John, what are you going to do with your life that you're getting out of Bible school? What are you going to do?" And he buried his hands in his head, and he thought and thought and thought. And boy, Leroy thought he was going to turn the world upside down for God. And as he raised his head, he says, I'm going to buy a new Buick. I think that's what I'll do. I'll buy a new Buick. Well, many times we exchange our soul for a new Buick. We exchange our life for things. God would like us to move us. He would like to move us, and we would be flexible to do His will. But many times we're pretty well committed. We're pretty well obligated. We couldn't move if we wanted to. We owe our soul to the company store. What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Life imparts life. He's calling us to exchange our life for people. He knew the magnitude of the task. And He calls us to die that others might live. And he knew that only that one who loved Him with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind would pay that price. To draw out their soul to the hungry, Isaiah 58:10, and satisfy the afflicted soul. It may mean some late hours. It may mean extra time in prayer. It will mean this. Extra study. My ambitions would be changed. I wouldn't be able to do the things that I enjoy doing always. I wouldn't be able to give as much time maybe to my hobby as I'd really like to give. Because people are dying and going to hell and need life. And life begets life. And He said, only as you lose your life will you find it. You know, you get a mathematical problem and you have a hard time with it in a classroom to kind of illustrate that what the Lord said. It's very difficult, but you do understand it. And you finally found the solution to it. Now, how do you keep it? How do you really get it? Give it away. Here's your buddy next to you, and he's struggling like crazy, so you help him. And pretty soon you've got it better than you had it, but you gave it away, and so you've got it now better. And here's another guy who's really struggling, and you give it away some more, and you've got it better. He says, if you really want life, lose it. Now, don't let anybody fool you. If you don't sell out to Jesus Christ and you sell out to somebody else and you give your life to somebody else, you will pay. In other words, whoever you sell out to will demand no less from you than God did. You go to work for the average company today. That company wants your soul. Nothing less. I know a businessman a number of years ago that decided to sell out to a department store, a company, a big firm, chain. Instead of, God was leading him, and he felt possibly that he was going into Christian service. He had a lot of training, but he thought, well, the price is pretty big. So today, he's a manager of a department store in this chain. And that store is demanding that he pay every bit the cost and the price that God would have asked him to pay. He was afraid possibly that he'd be on the road too much, that he might have to travel, that he wouldn't be with his family as much. And today they're demanding no less if he wants to go up in the company. I worked in the Nugget in Reno, Nevada, working my way through school in the restaurant part. The closer I got to the top, I was a manager of the Rooster Room, and the closer I got to the top of the leadership, the more they wanted my soul. I was never so glad to finish his school and graduate in my life and get out of there. God ripped that out by the roots. I used to look out of the corner of this eye back and say, you know, it sure be kind of fun to be in business. You know, now God's leading me. I'm not talking about you, because I'm not saying you're not in God's will, but for me. See, I knew where God was leading me. But always down deep, I had this little germ inside that thought, well, boy, it'd be fun to be in business. Well, I got to work in college, and I was given the manager of the Golden Rooster Room, this restaurant. And for 2 years, I managed that thing, and boy, by the time I was through, the Lord knew the training program that I needed. Because it was gone. A buddy of mine was in Jamaica. This is my favorite story. I have to tell this every time I preach on this. Ray Ho. And he was down there working in Jamaica. And he was he was down there for a while before he was going to get further training with the navigators. And he needed a job. So he went into the banana board. It's a board of directors type thing that interview you for the whole banana plantations and work. And he's a young, sharp fellow and an executive type guy. And so the banana board... interviewed him. And they said, what are you doing? What do you like to do, Ray? And so forth. And they were talking about his job. And after the interview got far along, the chairman of the board looked over at him. And he said, we want men who will give their life for bananas. Well, Ray sat there. And, you know, he didn't know whether to break out in just hilarious laughter. The world is calling for that, you know. We laugh at bananas because they turn brown so fast. You know, mushy, soft brown. God, I'm to give my life for a banana. Well, but we don't laugh at other firms and companies. They're just not quite vividly before us. We can't see them turn brown so fast. You know, it doesn't turn mushy so fast. But today, you will find somebody will want you wholeheartedly. This is what the world wants. And they want your soul, and they want you to pay the price of being wholehearted for whatever it is. And you will be for something. And Jesus Christ demands wholehearted devotion with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Because he knows the cost that must be paid to accomplish the magnitude of the task. This kind of commitment. You've probably heard this many times, but I read it again. Wholehearted enough to write this. We communists have a high casualty rate. We're the ones who get shot and hung and lynched and tarred and feathered and jailed and slandered and ridiculed and fired from our jobs and in every other way made as uncomfortable as possible. A certain percentage of us get killed or imprisoned. We live in virtual poverty. We turn back to the party every penny we make above what is absolutely necessary to keep us alive. We communists don't have time or money for many movies, concerts, or T-bone steaks, or decent homes, or new cars. We've been described as fanatics. We are fanatics. Our lives are dominated by one great overshadowing factor: the struggle for world communism. We communists have a philosophy of life which no money could buy. We have a cause to fight for, a definite purpose in life. We subordinate our petty personal selves into a great movement of humanity. And the average church today has not learned that. Of subordinating ourselves into a great movement. Onward, Christian soldiers. You know, we sing the song, we move the church of God like a mighty army. And the church is splitting and splitting and splitting and splitting and splitting. And I'm part of a church. I have to learn. And the Navigators is part of the church of God, the body of Christ. Not a local church, but the body of Christ. And we have to learn and be careful. And if our personal lives seem hard and our egos appear to suffer through subordination to the party, then we are adequately compensated by the thought that each of us in a small way is contributing to something new and true and better for mankind. There is one thing in which I am dead earnest, and that is a communist cause. It is my life and my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife, my mistress, my bread and meat. I work at it in the daytime and dream of it at night. Its hold on me grows, not lessens, as time goes on. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship or a love affair or even a conversation without relating to the force which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, books, ideas, actions according to how they affect the communist cause. I've already been in jail because of my ideas, and if necessary, I'm ready to go before the firing squad. This letter was written by a young student who went to the University of Mexico. It was written back to his fiancée, who was in South Carolina, and telling her that he was breaking her engagement because of this cause that he had found to give his life for, and she wasn't on the same track. Billy Graham saw the letter, printed it, used it, and that's where we've gotten. That's where I got the letter. But Jesus Christ demands no less. He demands no less. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it cannot bear forth fruit. The cost, the job is a world, the whole world. And the way people will get life is as we die and give life. All right, the third reason why we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Because of the danger of the task. It's dangerous. You know, the devil wants to hoodwink us in believing that the world today, that the war today is in Vietnam. He wants to make us think the war that we're fighting is in Vietnam. It's not. The war that has gone on in the past centuries and years and decades is in the heart and the life of people. a great struggle for men's souls, and the devil is after them. And there's a great struggle between the forces of evil and the forces of good, and they're struggling for men's souls. And this is where the battleground is. We're in a real war. And it's been going on for years. Vietnam is a new scrimmage. But the real battle is in the life of people. Ephesians 6:12, "For we are not contending against flesh and blood." It would be nice if we were, "but against powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Our warfare is spiritual. Now in Vietnam, if I'm going to battle, and I am sent out on a certain project with a detail, and I have this one thing to do, I want to go into battle with these guys. I want to know that everybody who's going in with me is wholehearted. I want to know that for my skin's sake. You know? Because they say, "Okay, now Bob, you go around this hill and you come around and back and these guys will cover you as you go." Well, I know Joe here. He's thinking about that new Buick he bought. Boy, I'd sure like to get back to that. Man, got to make the payments on it too. Or this brand new job that I'm going to be taking over, and more prestige and more power, and be just a little time and I'll be back in that. And on and on and on. And if I know those guys are going to be covering me and they're half-hearted, it's my skin. The battle is dangerous. It's a dangerous battle. We're in real warfare. And because of the danger of the task, Jesus Christ said, "Love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." If you don't, you're going to get it through the head. Your buddy and the whole cause of Christ is involved. When one of our brothers or sisters falls on the battlefield, it's not just him that is hurt. The body suffers. The body is hurt. The body feels it. When my finger pains me, my head hurts. I feel that. The whole body feels it. Every member working together in the body. 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4. "Put up with your share of hardships as a loyal soldier in Christ's army. Remember that no soldier on active service gets himself entangled in business, or he will not please his commanding officers." That's Phillips translations. Other translations say with civilian activities or civilian affairs. "No enlisted recruit gets involved in enterprises for making a living so he may please the officer who enlisted him." Our purpose in life is not to make a living. That is not our whole aim and objective. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Ron Fempson stood up here the other night and gave his testimony and told us how he learned that the hard way. How God brought that home to him. And Ron's life today is a testimony of that. He lives this way, I know. I'm in a training program with him. I've known him the last 4 years as he's been around the Navigators and working with us and co-laboring. We're in a dangerous task. And if our mind is someplace else other than the thing God has called us to, your own life is in danger, the life of your fellow Christian, and the cause of Jesus Christ. I could go into Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 9, if you want to look that up. It's interesting. Before the army of Israel would go out to battle, they'd go through and check. How many have a house that they've just built and haven't lived in it yet? Will all those please step forward? All right, now you go home. Verse 6, how many have a vineyard that they've planted and haven't eaten of the fruit of it? Step forward, please. They'd step forward and they'd say, now will you please go home? They'd say, all right, how many have a wife, a new bride? Will you please step forward? They'd step forward and you go home. And they wouldn't take those men into battle because they didn't want a double-minded man. All right, the fourth reason, and this is the last reason. Why should we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind? Is because He made us. And because He made us, He knows how we work best and when we're the happiest. And we work best and we're the happiest when we're loving Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. He says, you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind because you operate best that way. I made you, and I made you for that purpose. And I want to be totally in control of that God-sized vacuum that in ages past, when man chose against God, God left man. Man left God and left this emptiness. And he said, now I want to come back in there and I want to reign and rule. And you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind because you will be the happiest that way. I made you. Now in my car, when I got my car, there was an instruction manual in the glove compartment. It said for new cars. And so I got the car, and one of the first things I did was I pulled out the instruction manual and I began to read it. And it says, every so many thousand miles, change the oil. And we recommend that you use this kind of oil and that you grease the car ever so often. I look at that stupid manual and I say, who are you to tell me what kind of oil I'm going to use and when I'm going to grease my car? I'll use the oil I want to use and I'll grease it when I want to grease it. You're not going to tell me. And they say, we recommend that you keep so many pounds of air in your tires. And we suggest that the service date is such and such, such and such, and such and such. You're not going to tell me when I service my car. I'll service my car when I want to service my car. The manual was put in the glove compartment so that I would get maximum trouble-free miles by the company that made the car and knows that it will give me maximum trouble-free miles if I go by the manual. Romans 14:9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. He said, if I am Lord and you love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, you will have maximum trouble-free miles. In other words, you'll wear longer, better. Not that we won't have troubles. We invite a person to come to know Christ. We don't invite them to a bed of roses. They think they have troubles now. Follow God. But it's a whole different picture. But He wants to be Lord of our life, that we might have the maximum trouble-free miles. He knows how we operate best. You say, well, now I know, I've invited Him in as my Savior. I mean this. The little illustration, you may have heard it. Something more than that. Here you are in your car, and you're driving down the road of life, and you come to an intersection. And there at the intersection is Christ. And you stop your car. And you say, well, Lord, get in. And you get out, and you open the back door, and you say, climb in. He says, no. Excuse me. So you close the back door and you open the front door. Say, get in alongside of me. He says, no. Move over, Bob. I want to get behind the wheel. I want to drive. Well, you think that went over. You say, now where are we going? I don't know where we're going. Well, now if you know His love for you, if you know His love, and if you know God, you say, okay, Lord, Get behind the wheel. So he gets behind the wheel and shifts it, and away we go. You know, and you say, well, where are we going, Lord? He says, we're going to the courthouse. The courthouse. What are we going to do there? He says, well, I want you to sign the title of the car over to me. The title, too. Everything. That's what it means. Lordship. Wholehearted devotion. Wholehearted devotion daily in your intake of the Word of God. Psalm 119, a very familiar passage. But I missed an important verse. Psalm 119, 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. Verse 10, and I missed 10 for ages. With my whole heart I seek thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. With my whole heart I daily seek your word. You in your word. Wholehearted devotion in seeking the word, in seeking the Lord Jesus in the Word of God. Wholehearted devotion in praying. Second Chronicles 31:21. And every work, this is Hezekiah, that he undertook in the service of the house of God, 2 Chronicles 31:21, and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. In prayer, seeking God in prayer. Wholehearted devotion in seeking the Lord, in obeying him by faith, in obedience. Psalm 119 again. Verse 34. Give me understanding that I may keep thy law and observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding that I may keep thy law and observe it with my whole heart. Wholeheartedly giving myself for people. Now it's interesting. The first commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And you know the commandment that's following that one? And love thy neighbor as thyself. And that is giving yourself wholeheartedly in the same way for people as you do for God. And as you do that for God, you'll be able to do that for people. Because I don't have a desire to do that unless I know the Lord that way. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Let's pray.